Dr. John Alexander, what do you make of the whole MJ-12 story? I mean, that's the group in general that for the last 15, 20 years or so is presumed to have been in charge of the UFO cover-up based on these leaked documents. Give me your take.
Well, nothing, but can I first back up to something you said as we were going to break that I think is really important and totally
sure.
missed by the field?
Sure.
And that is, you said later we would talk about strategic issues and things of that nature. There is a small group of people who think that UFOs are, you know, the greatest story never told. The reality is, and the reason this does not play in the government, is there are so many other things going on in the real world that are biting them in the butt today. As we know, you mentioned in, you know, the introduction, the things that's happening across, you know, North Africa and the Middle East today. These things actually play directly into the UFO arena, and it is the reason that they are a very, very low priority when it gets to, you know, from the government interest. They just don't wash well enough. It is, like I said, you got a small group who are intently interested. You've got a modest-sized group who say this is all nonsense and, you know, just misidentification and, you know, the skeptics and debunkers you talked about. And you have this vast group in the middle who say, you know, interesting, but, you know, not a burning issue for them. So when I compare this to, you know, global terrorism, to the financial crisis, the healthcare crisis, you go like, where does this fit? And the answer is very, very low. Now,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was going to jump back to your question, but
well, no, that's okay. Let's wait a second while we're on this topic, because you mentioned earlier in passing the Northern Tier incidents where UFOs appeared over a series of our nuclear missile bases over the course of a couple of weeks. You also mentioned the example that we dug up in Russia about a very alarming incident where Russian ICBMs were basically ready to go, ready to launch in association with a UFO incident. Those would seem to be legitimate national security incidents that would be of interest to our military, unless there's some other explanation we just don't know about. But are you saying that they are so infrequent, even though they are dramatic at times, they're so infrequent that there's always going to be something more pressing at the moment?
Well, there's always something more pressing. I mean, if they actually caused that launch or something of that nature, that might have got their attention. The response in, you know, the missiles here was it happened once. There was an investigation done. Didn't figure out what it is, and it said, well, if it happens again, then we'll kind of get serious. There was no threat in general in the Northern Tier sightings, lots of UFOs around sites and things of that nature. This is why when the hearings that you were talking about, we kind of geared it towards we ought to bundle these things together, and they do make a significant case and are worthy of studies. One of the things we've talked about in the government, but what we didn't talk about is the budget issues. And those are really, really critical. That's why in Leslie Keene's book, which is really pretty good, by the way, but I was a bit surprised when Podesta, who did the thing, supported a call for creation of a new agency. And you go, how do you do that in a time when the government's got to cut across the board? So as I put, the probability of a new agency being created, look at UFOs, you know, snowballs have a better chance in hell. It's just not going to happen. But you got to remember the golden rule in all of this. And, you know, maybe that's another discussion we can get into. But it's, you know, you've got to look at the funding issues. And this is why I say my chapter on how the government really works is really critical. Our civics, even high school level civics, is not very good these days on how these things get done. You know, everything's a one. We mentioned requirements. You've got to have a requirement to do something. You have one to N priority list in funding, and you run out of money long before you run out of things that you ought to be doing in any department. And so then you've got to prioritize UFOs against them. That's it. Tiny segment of the population think that's really important. The vast majority, you know, just not going to make the cut, literally.
Back to MJ-12, your take.
Well, UFOs, absolutely not real. And I know Stan Friedman's going to be jumping up and down, wrote the book on the topic and all of that. Most of the documents are undoubtedly bogus. It's interesting, when you go to the National Archives, there are two topics that are covered there that put out and just said, here's the information on. One of them is the Kennedy assassination, and the other is MJ-12. And I've covered in the book, and literally verbatim, here's what their take is. I actually filed my own FOIA on this, and I said specifically, I'm interested in MJ-12, not UFOs. And sure enough, I got back the letter that said, the UFOs, blah, blah, blah. And obviously a form response because they get so many. I did have somebody, and I addressed this in the book, tell me that, A, it was real, and B, that the list of people was accurate. And when I asked that individual, who should be knowledgeable, okay, can you tell me what it was? He says, I can't tell you. He says, but if you look at the list, you ought to be able to figure it out. And I have put in the hypothesis there, and you don't need UFOs, and you don't need, what Stan Friedman had to do was explain how Menzel had a double life, because right. Menzel, who was on that list, was an adamant anti-UFO guy. And so they came up with, well, he really believed one thing, that if you believe my hypothesis, you don't need that. It was, probably more critical than UFOs and very prosaic. And the point was that the timing, the people, everything just fits a different scenario.
What do you make of the idea that in those documents there were a lot of interesting things that were not publicly known at the time they came out? That's sort of lend credence to Stan Friedman's view on this thing. The Menzel's double life wasn't known at the time it came out.
And it's not true.
It's not true.
That's not true. Yeah, I mean he had to come up with that as a rationale to explain why Menzel would be reporting. The documents, many of them have actually been found, and they were other documents that had been just altered slightly to, take on the UFO twist. And like I said, I recommend. One of the good things about my book is you don't have to believe anything I say, because we have named enough places and went, go do the research. And you got to take some common sense. And for some of the people that you mentioned, probably need to, take a few breaths and, get their temper under control. But, you can follow these things straight through. And prosaic answers tend to prevail.
Roswell. Something crash at Roswell?
Oh, undoubtedly something crashed. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think the Air Force handled it abysmally. And I do think that what you, it was not a weather balloon. I've had some questions on that, and, certainly not a weather balloon. We agree it wasn't a weather balloon. Unfortunately, I think Mogul probably was the answer. And all of the things, I do think there's highly credible witnesses. I think Jesse Marcel and Jesse Jr. are really straightforward. And I think you can explain everything that they discussed, and again, without a UFO.
I don't even want to jump into that whole Roswell debate, but the one thing that stood out for me was the nature of the wreckage and how much material there was stretched
out.
Well,
there's a couple things that, interestingly, Bill Burns on UFO Hunters had a situation where they laid out a series of thin materials, and anybody who wants to watch this, they can go and find these with a Google search and watch the video clips on it. And they had two people who came in who we are very sure actually handled the material, and they said, do you see the material here that you handled? They both said yes. They both picked up the same piece. It was thin material. When you crumpled it and you let go of it, it straightened itself out. You couldn't burn it. You know, all of the attributes that Jesse Senior said were there. There is a great lecture that's you can actually, again, find with a Google search on the Mogul Project and how all of that